The Sand Geeks. We are the Sand Geeks.
Hello, geeks. A very warm welcome to episode 73 of the Sand Geeks podcast. We are proudly sponsored by the excellent Kajal Perfumes, who you can find at kajalperfumes.com. To make it easy for you, we have put a link in our Facebook group, The Scent Geeks Podcast. If you did want to make a purchase, just use the code GEEKS10. That's GEEKS10, and you get a cheeky little 10% discount. Stay tuned for details of this month's giveaway winners and how you can enter this upcoming month's Kajal Perfumes giveaway. All right. Well, I once again wanted to do this one on my own, but once again, this guy, Steve, has said that he wants to be in on the act. So here we go. We've got him again. It's my mate, Steve. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I mean, that's basically how I've got through life. Just if you just hang around with somebody enough, eventually they become friends with you. And if you go that extra mile, they might even marry you like my wife did. So, you know, that's a little tip for everybody listening. Just hang around with somebody and eventually they have to sort of just accept that you're part of their life. Anyway, yeah, I'm good. How are you?
You say hang around, but I think stalk is probably a better word for how our relationship began, Steve.
I mean, I'm
in York for work if you want to meet up and do a video. But don't worry if you don't, you know, we just have a drink, it's fine. But, I mean, we could do a video if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying that through your letterbox on your front door, so it didn't give you much choice, did I? So, I suppose.
Of course, we did a little skit, didn't we, on our very first collaboration together, where we met up in York and we made it seem like you'd been stalking me, but it was actually reality. That, so yeah.
You know what's sad, mate, is I in my new job I don't cover the territory of York, so I have no reason to go to York now for work.
Well, you do. So you do, mate, because I'm here. Well, that's, I mean, yeah. Sod work. Do you need any bigger reason than me to come to York?
Well, at least before I was actually getting paid to be there, so that kind of helps. You need to come to Cambridge. We need to film something in Cambridge, I reckon.
Ah, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
We could even get Tony involved as well from Frigdicted. He's local as well.
Frigdicted? So we could do. I don't know this guy. Who's this guy?
Yeah, we've hardly mentioned him, but we need to do that. Make that happen.
Absolutely, we will make it happen. Yeah.
Anyway, we're back, mate. It's been effectively 2 weeks off for us, hasn't it? Because we've not recorded for 2 weeks. So I've been sort of. It's been nice having a little break, and I've looked forward to having a little catch up. Because we've not really spoken to each other much during that break either, have we? So
no,
I've sort of took a break. It's nice to have a little catch up. So what have you been up to? How did you have a bank holiday weekend? What did you do?
So when we didn't record last Sunday, I was just sort of at home really, which was nice because it was nice on a Sunday to we just sort of sat in front of the TV a little bit earlier than we would do really, so that was just nice for a change. And then this week, so for most of this week, I've been to Anglesey in Wales, which is where I go very often. I've been going most of my life since I was a little kid. Love that place. And I think I mentioned that I'd bought a drone, so I did my maiden voyage of my drone. I did some drone flying practice on the beaches down there.
Is it one of these drones with goggles, so you see what it sees, sort of thing?
Oh, okay. That's an FPV drone. This is one where you have your phone linked up to the controller, so what the drone sees, you're seeing on your phone screen.
Ah, okay. Right.
Yeah. And so the video was pretty much about whether you can fly a drone for the very first time and get some nice cinematic footage sort of straight out the box without any drone flying experience. So I won't tell you the outcome because that will be a video on my new channel at some point. I'll let you know when that's launching. But it was fun. But I tell you what, it was a little scarier than I thought it was going to be because, you know, you've spent money on this little gadget and you're just putting it up in the air. And sometimes it goes. You can make it go so high and so far away that you lose sight of it because it's so tiny. It's a DJI Mini 2, and I tell you what, when you lose sight and you don't know where it is, you panic and you think, I can't see it. I can't see. Has it crashed? And all you got to do is look at your phone screen, and if it's still hovering in the sky, you know it's not crashed. But it's just instinct to want to see it with the naked eye, really. And then.
I've-
Yeah.
I was going to say, I've seen videos where guys have used them and they're like, the battery on the drone starts dying and it starts coming down like over a freaking lake or whatever. And they're like trying to get, like, swim to it. I saw one like guy end up going waist deep into some sort of like lake pond thing so he could try and catch the drone before it like hit the water because it is just coming down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can imagine it's a bit scary.
It's scary sending it out over water because obviously I wanted to film it coming in from the sea into land, so that was a little bit nerve-wracking. And I did have a scary moment over water, which was actually, it was recording at the time, so that's going to be included probably in the video. But it was a lot of fun, and you know what, I loved going out to a place like that. It's a beautiful part of the world, and it was great to sort of film cinematic stuff just for a cinematic vlog and not have to find a way of talking about fragrances in it. I mean, I love talking about fragrances, obviously, but it was just refreshing to make a video that didn't involve fragrances. I didn't feel sort of encumbered by that. I didn't have to try and find a way to crowbar fragrances in there. And I know you've said in the past as well that the vlog style videos that I do, you sort of enjoy the vlog bits more than the fragrance talk bits, don't you?
Yeah, some of the visuals, it's like the fucking your face and the fragrance bottles kind of get in the way. It's like, it's quite nice to see some of the cool cinematography. So it's good that you're doing this other channel. It'll be interesting to see, and I think it's nice that channel will give you a bit more of an open forum to sort of just do and try different things, different styles of content, like you say, reviews, vlogs, lifestyle stuff, and just whatever sort of takes your fancy, really. That'd be kind of nice.
That's the plan, yeah. So how's your week been?
Good. So, yes, been 2 weeks, isn't it? So last week we were away for the bank holiday weekend, which was nice. We went away to a sort of lakeside lodge, which was really nice. We took, we took the children, obviously. We didn't leave them at home, just to leave them in the car with the window open. They'll be right.
Yeah, but you left them in the lodge, didn't you, when you left? You just came back home.
We took the dog as well because it was kind of dog friendly. So it's just nice. It kind of meant that we didn't have to kind of worry about, you know, someone having to look after the dog or try and, like, a bit of grief. And it was really well located. So one day we went to a theme park, another day we went to the beach, there was like a adventure park there and swimming pool and all that sort of thing. And then my brother didn't live too far away, so he came and joined us with his missus and stepdaughter and stuff. So we caught up for the day there and had a sort of Chinese. So it's just a really lovely getaway, really.
Great. Which theme park did you go to?
We were staying in Norfolk, and we went to quite a small little theme park, really, called Pleasurewood Hills, which has been around for donkeys. But what's lovely is I went there when I was a kid, so it's nice that now my children are now going there. Do you know what I mean? And obviously it's changed a lot.
Yeah.
So it's just quite nice, really, to kind of, go through the generations.
Well, I had the same thing, actually, with going to Anglesey, because we went to this little cove, which not many people know about, and we used to stay right near there. So when I was Lily and Evie's age, I was off swimming, jumping off the rocks, going on the dinghy, and just to see them at the age I used to be on that cove doing the same things and seeing them enjoying it and absolutely just loving being in the water for hours on end. It was really nice to sort of see the next generation enjoying the exact same thing that I did at their age. It's a nice thing, isn't it? It's like full circle.
Yeah, no, it is really nice. So did that. And then, what was it? Where have we been? So then the week before last, this week I've just had a normal week seeing some customers. But the week before last, I was away for work. I was in Brighton for a few nights as well. So that kind of made it nice coming back and then going away with the family as well. So I've sort of been quite busy with work and sort of out and about and travelling and stuff. So, yeah, it's nice to kind of get back to a bit of normality, really.
Well, good.
I suppose we should talk about fragrances at some point.
Yes, I was going to say, I feel like we've sufficiently caught each other up on our lives for the last 2 weeks. So, yeah, let's do some fraggy stuff.
I should say as well, I'm going to try, I don't think I've sworn yet, I'm going to try not to swear this episode. Purely because my wife has started, like, when the baby's a bit upset in the car and I'm not there, she starts playing a Scent Geeks podcast episode so the baby can hear my voice.
Yeah.
And she says it settles her. So it's fine, like, swearing at the minute because the baby doesn't know, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
But sometimes if my son is in there, who's a bit older, he kind of gets it. So she said then she can't if he's there. So, yeah, I'm going to see if I can get through this episode without swearing.
Oh, all right. I'm up for that. I try not to swear on YouTube, so I'm up for doing it on the podcast as well.
Yeah. See, now I can't do it. It's like that thing where you can't laugh or something, yeah. or you can't, you know, like in church, it's kind of like, I've got this really compulsive urge to swear now, but I'm going to try not to. Anyway.
I've just got this image of your wife and your kids in the car, and when they listen to the podcast, your voice comes on and they're all calm, and then my voice comes on, they start crying again, and then your voice comes on.
I don't know about that. That's not my dad. Oh, bless us. She has, it's really cute, actually, on the way back, because we saw my brother today. We was at my brother's house for a barbecue, and we was driving back today, and she was like, her routine was all a bit disrupted, so she was kind of a bit late to bed, and she was a bit grouchy, so she was crying in the car. And there's this little song that I sing her, like, with her name in it, and she now's really familiar with it, and that settles her. And I was singing this song, and she kept stopped crying. I was like, I can't sing this fucking song all the way home. So my wife then recorded it into her, I've just sworn, there we go. Recorded it into her phone, and then she's just started playing it back on a loop. And I said to her, I was like, that's more annoying than me having to sing it, listening to my own voice back. But there we go. Okay, it's just one little swear. We'll carry on.
It'll be all right. Be right. Yeah. Have we had any podmen?
We have. Let me have a look. Yes. So we've only had a couple, but everybody knows the score. ko-fi.com/thesaintgeeks, all one word. So you can financially support the podcast. That goes to like admin fees and blah, 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 blah. A couple of people have. Mr. Josh G has bought us a coffee. He said, for the Chris Wilkinson Speeding Ticket Defence Fund. So obviously you mentioned a couple of weeks ago that you had you got caught for the first time just going a little bit too fast on a certain road. And so he's obviously feels your plight, and he's donated towards your speeding ticket there. So that's
nice. Oh, great. Oh, well, that can offset what I paid for my speed awareness course a little bit. Thanks, Josh.
There we go. And Aeon has donated again, the legend. Mm. That's a few times now. Chris, watch the vid with Zarakian. Is that how you pronounce her name?
Cecile Zarakian, yeah.
So Zarakian, sorry, my bad. Never smelt Enigma myself, but you should be proud you can rock a slightly femme frag if it leans that way. Keep in mind, mature, in inverted commas, femme frags tend to smell kind of mask. I assume he means masculine. See Coco by Chanel. So there we go.
Well, that was an interesting one. YouTube. I was very surprised that Cecile, and this was just off the strips, so it's not the full story as we know, but I was very surprised that she said Enigma reminded her of something like that, an old, she liked it, but it was something that she would associate more with like an old lady. I've never heard anyone say that about Enigma before, and everyone has personal associations for whatever reason, but it's definitely not a female leaning fragrance for me. It's certainly a masculine scent. But each to their own. There you go.
There you go.
Don't want to argue too much with a master perfumer.
Well, indeed. But it is the kind of subjective, how we said it's some of it's built up on your own preconceptions.
Yes.
Not necessarily miss. They might be, but yeah, your preconceptions. And we've discussed this before. I mentioned it only a couple of weeks ago. If you sort of have an image in your head, it's hard to shift it. Like, it took me a while to realise that actually Silver Mountain Water is actually very unisex. Just in my head, I just imagine this clean white shirt kind of guy at work, and it just, and that's I think it works really well for that. And it, and I had to detach that image and sort of smell it almost like a third party to kind of smell it and go, yeah, actually that is very sort of unisex. A woman could easily wear it, but I when people said it to me before, I was like, no way, it's masculine, it's very like a manly scent, but it's not. It took me a while to shift that image. So yeah, it's funny. So that's all the co-fees. Has there been any reviews?
We've had one review, yeah, so I'll quickly read that out. So this the title of this one is Very Calm and Interesting. I love listening to this podcast. If you like to listen to anything fragrance related, this is for you. There is nothing much more to say. Greetings from the city with the perfect name for fragrance lovers, Cologne, Germany. There you go. Thank you for that.
I don't know, is there, there's absolutely no link whatsoever, is there, to the name? Obviously, it's purely coincidence. There's nothing.
I don't know. I thought there was, but I don't know for sure.
Is there history that the word Cologne comes from the city for some reason? Or I feel like we should know that.
Yeah.
Perhaps we'll Google that and we'll report back on next week's episode.
Yeah. I have no idea. I thought so, but I don't know for sure. We will see. Someone will let us know, maybe in the Facebook group.
Just a quick one while we're on the reviews section. We are currently at number 2 in the fashion and beauty charts in Macau. We're going up for that number 1 spot again. We're coming for you.
Our Macau listeners tuned into the Avengers special, it seems.
Excellent. Yes, indeed. Cool. So that's that. So what have you been wearing, Chris?
Well, yeah, I've been wearing a few things. I'm currently sat here wearing from this brand from Sweden, Niche for All, which
I saw your video, actually. Yeah. It's hard to keep up with all your videos. Now you're banging out the content so often. But yeah, I did see that haul video that you did. And yeah. You sort of... because I wasn't sure actually that until I watched the video that they were sort of an inspired by kind of house,
well,
as it were.
Yeah, they sort of are. They kind of are, but they're more sort of hybrid inspirations. So they sort of take inspiration from famous niche ones, but their intention is not to clone them or not to make, you know, to rip them off and smell exactly the same. They sort of take inspiration from niche fragrances and then want to create something in that same genre, if you like. So yeah, not exact cloner likes at all. But I'm currently wearing one called Oriental Incense, which is like a beast. It's like pumping off me resins and dark and rich. I guess if I was going to say it reminded me of anything, it would be Amouage Interlude Man. But it is, impressed with the quality of Niche for All. It's good. I also wore one of those called Sea Mint. So when I was in Anglesey, I don't know about you, but when I'm by the sea, I like wearing like marine or oceanic fragrances. I did just the compliment. You know, your scent complements the natural environment really nicely. There's sort of a synergy between the two, which I really enjoy. So Sea Mint is sort of...
I commented on your video. Every time you say Sea Mint, I think you're going to say semen.
Semen, yeah.
I think, oh, yeah, currently I'm wearing semen. It's like, really?
Well, someone commented that, but it wasn't you. Oh, someone else commented it. I did a YouTube short where I got my brother-in-law to give me his opinions on Sea Mint, and yeah, someone else said the same thing. Make sure you pronounce the T properly on the end of mint. Yeah, semen.
Yeah, you really need to emphasize that T. I just thought semen. Yeah. What?
Because my accent, I would naturally say semen.
Yeah.
Rather than Sea Mint.
It really does sound like
it. I got to watch that, haven't I?
Ooh. Yeah.
Anyway, so that was minty marine freshness. That was lovely by the sea. I wore the new Cool Water Parfum new release.
Yes. Now you messaged me about this, didn't you? We sort of had sent a couple of messages and about another fragrance as well, which we'll mention in a moment. But yeah, so for those that haven't seen your YouTube video, obviously they should go and watch it. But I was a bit of surprised when you told me what it smelled like.
Yeah, Sauvage.
Yeah,
it's a slightly softer version of Sauvage, I would say.
Interesting. Well, how much is it costing, by the way? I
don't know, because I bought it from a foreign website, and I don't know what that is going to retail for.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's all Davidoff stuff hits discounters like super fast, so I'm sure it'll probably be, you know, a price that perhaps you wouldn't want to pay initially, but it'll go down dirt cheap within a year or so, I would have thought.
I'm sort of surprised. I don't know why I'm surprised, because everybody's sort of doing it, but it just feels a bit sort of...
derivative,
I've sworn again there. They've missed the train, haven't they? The ship sailed on that, surely.
Yeah.
Because it still is very popular, but...
Yeah, because it's been funny one, you know, Prada sort of did their version with Carbon, and that was nice. You know, that had its fans for people who thought that Sauvage was maybe a little too much. It rounded things off, as did the Eau de Parfum, and then even more so with Sauvage Parfum. So I'm surprised that Davidoff went that sort of Sauvage-y route, really. If they were going to sort of do an inspired by take on something that doesn't smell at all like the original, then, well, I mean, I'm going to say, yeah, why have they chosen Sauvage? But yes, of course, you would choose the sort of, you know, biggest selling men's fragrance of current times in the designer realm, wouldn't you? So I guess
that
it
they
makes
wanted
sense.
Something modern, as Cool Water is a bit sort of dated or sort of retro now, as it were. So perhaps they thought, well, if we go for modern, let's dump some Ambroxan in it. And yeah, it's interesting.
But I would have, if they were going that route, I think I would have liked them to have made it sort of 50-50, the Sauvage profile with the Cool Water profile. So at least there was more of a connection to the original. Mm. There's a hint of it right underneath, but it's really faint, and it is definitely more Sauvage than anything else. Yeah.
How does it perform?
It's all right, yeah. No, it doesn't perform like Sauvage EDC. It probably performs more similar to the Parfum, so it's a bit closer to the skin. It's fairly subtle. It's actually quite nice, and it lingers on your clothes as well, because I put a jacket on that I'd worn when I'd sprayed it, and I could still smell it on it. So it hangs around, but it doesn't project as big as Sauvage EDT.
Mm. Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind smelling it out of curiosity, so I probably will at some point. But anyway, what else have you been wearing?
So a couple of niche. I tried a leathery one called Murmur Chypre from Motif Olfactif, which is really nice, very complex animalic leather scent, so right up your street, mate. Renier's Habana 500, which is a nice take on a sort of coffee scent that's got a nice bit of freshness to it as well, and one that I believe you have also been trying this week, which perhaps we can talk about when you've told us what you've been wearing, but Azzaro the Most Wanted, the new fragrance from Azzaro.
Yes, I've been wearing that as well, so yeah. We'll talk about that one in a moment.
Sure. So what else have you been wearing first?
Well, interesting, as I mentioned, so I've had a really quite, well, the week before last, I was travelling for work quite a lot. I was down in Brighton for a few days, and I had like customer meetings, and the weather was going, like, one minute it was raining and it was sunny, and obviously I had to take things with me. So I went sort of super safe and versatile. I basically just took like a decan of Bleu de Chanel EDP, because I thought, you literally just can't go wrong. Doesn't matter if it's hot, sunny, rainy. Obviously, no customers are going to be offended or bothered by that fragrance, so I thought that's going to do me. It performs really well, so I pretty much took that with me. Then when we went away again, the weather was still interchangeable, so I took some fairly safe ones. I left that decant in my kind of bag, and I also took Boss the Scent Absolue, one I've mentioned a few weeks ago, which I really enjoy. I also took Chanel Allure on Sport, so they're like the, I was going to say the original, but obviously it's not the original, but not the Eau Extreme version.
Yeah.
I really like that. I just like the sort of, the dry down on skin has just got this nice creamy sort of sandalwood to it, which I really like. Mm. And just because I've got a nice tiny little travel size of it, I took a Plethora Intense from
Barton's Vintage.
Yes, exactly that. Just because I've got a lovely little travel size, so I thought I'll throw that in there. And that's basically Bulgari's Legem Tiger, so it's ambroxan and grapefruit. So again, very fresh and clean and versatile. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of what I took there for the sort of week away. And then this last week, I've been whopping out all of the big hitters in the world of sort of sunny, warm weather fragrances, really. So yeah. Clinique Happy, Mercedes-Benz Cologne, which I've raved about before, which is basically like Dior Homme Cologne. What else have I worn this week? I've been whopping out all of the freshies this week.
And some of your Chrome absolute favourites as well, haven't you?
I have. Azzaro Chrome Sport, which is basically like Versace Mano Fresh. So, I've been really enjoying like the old freshies. Zegna Uomo, another one. So, yeah, all these ones I've mentioned before, but it was just like reaching for those real fresh summer ones that I've not worn for quite a few months. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed that, to be honest.
Cool.
And I received some samples from the man, the legend that is Kevin from Merseyscents. And one of those samples was Azzaro's The Most Wanted. So I've been giving that a little wear. I've currently got it on the back of my hand.
Right.
And yeah, it's funny because I messaged you before you got your bottle, didn't I? I got my sample and I messaged you and I went, oh, have you smelt it yet? And you went, no, I've not got it yet. And I was like, okay. It's like, it smells like something to me, but I won't say what it is until you, just so I don't sort of sway you. And then when you got yours, you were kind of like, you messaged me and went, okay, it smells like, it was a Emporio Armani Stronger With You, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, exactly that. So when I smelt it, I was like, shit, that smells like something. I really know this scent. And I messaged Kev and I was like, God, it smells like something. What is it? And then I sent him another one going, Stronger With You. That's what it really reminds me of.
Yeah.
So it's, I was just giving it a whiff now.
Yeah, it is. It's the toffee. It's the toffee in there, yeah. I think. And it's sort of the toffee mixed with whatever they put in to create these sort of mass appealing, fruity, designer type smells. You know what I mean?
It smells more like Stronger With You than it does Azzaro Wanted by Night and Wanted, I would say.
It does, yeah.
I think it's a bit thicker and maybe heavier. That like it feels like it's got a bit more oomph to it maybe than Strong With You. I don't know.
Yes, I think it probably, yeah, I'd agree with that, but it's definitely not got as much oomph as Wanted by Night. That is a big projector for me, and I thought that this was not so.
I mean, I prefer Wanted by Night. I really like this. I really like this fragrance. I prefer it to Stronger With You, but I don't like it as much as Wanted by Night. Obviously, I've spoken about that before. I love that fragrance. Yeah. I think you sort of need to be more into, I wouldn't say you need to be into Gourmands, but you definitely need to like that sort of sweeter Gourmand-ish type fragrance, I think, to really enjoy this one. It's really nice. It's definitely a sort of autumn winter fragrance for me, so not the best time of year at the minute, with the heat that we've been getting the last few days.
It's sort of like Stronger With You. It's along those lines. I think it's the toffee that does that and the fruitiness, but it's it doesn't have that smoky chestnut that the Stronger With You line does, and I think it's a bit fruitier.
For me, because I've spoken about this before, as much as I mean, the moment I smelled Stronger With You, I really liked it. I thought it was really solid, and I enjoy wearing it. But quite often towards the end of wearing it, when it's been on for a good few hours, there's something in Stronger With You that gets a little bit annoying to me. I don't know. There's something there, and I think it might be the chestnut that kind of just starts annoying me a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't kind of get that with Wanted. So that makes sense, what you say there, the fact that it's missing that chestnut. And because perhaps that's the thing that annoys me a little bit in Strong With You that I'm not getting from this.
I agree. That chestnut does get a little bit on the sickly side in the Stronger With You line.
Once you've been wearing it a while, it just gets a little bit sort of cloying and annoying.
Yeah.
How does... I've smelt Stronger With You intensely before, but only in store, and that leans even more gourmandish, so I sort of steer clear because I'm not really into gourmands. How does this one compare to Stronger With You intensely, do you think? Any similarities? Obviously,
probably less so than with Stronger With You. Stronger With You intensely is even richer, darker, and more chestnutty, I would say. Whereas I think The Most Wanted is more versatile than that. I think it's probably a bit more versatile than Stronger With You, because I think it's got that fruitiness and that toffee. It does have that, you know, those gourmand flourishes, but there's enough brightness and fruitiness there for it to be a fairly versatile fragrance. I think I could easily wear it all year round. I think autumn and winter it would perhaps excel, but I could wear it all year round, no problem.
See, I don't think I could. I think that sort of gourmandish is a, I mean, you could.
Yeah,
I'm just giving it a whiff now. I think
it's too heavy and oppressive to wear in warmer weather.
I just don't think I would want to wear it in warmer weather. I think that would kick up and that it's a bit too sickly in the heat for me, I think.
Yeah.
But it depends what you'd see. And before we move on, which of the three then, Strong With You, Strong With You Intensity, and this, which is your favourite? Which would you recommend that people kind of get if they are considering it?
I think I'd say The Most Wanted. I think I really enjoy it. I like it a lot. I think it's a good fragrance. I don't think it's anything groundbreaking, but it's sort of done well. You know, it's something that isn't groundbreaking, but still done well. But I still prefer Wanted by Night. I think that's a bit more unique, and I think it's a bit more, it's a bit better in its performance, and I think it's a bit more likeable and perhaps mass appealing. Like it quite a bit, but still prefer Wanted by Night.
Okay, I pretty much agree with that. I think I prefer this one out of those three, but I still prefer Wanted by Night. Are you going to keep The Most Wanted?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it.
Just wondered. Cool. Well, I think that's most of what we've been wearing. Is there anything else that's caught your eye this week in the world of fragrance?
Well, there is actually, but not in terms of fragrances as such, but more something based around, you know, a material used in you know, mainly niche fragrances. Now, this is a story that crops up every now and then. It's not a new story. It's about ambergris, and I sent you the link to this, didn't I, Steve? But I just thought it's current. It's just happened. Let's just sort of refer to it and read it out, because it is a pretty amazing story. So the story is these apparently, you know, very poor fishermen in Yemen, from southern Yemen, found a dead whale. Basically, there were 35 of these fishermen, and they managed to get the whale back to land, and they cut it open, and inside they found £1.1 million worth of ambergris. So they sold it, and I think what's the maths of that? 1.1 million split 35 ways, 30 odd grand per dude. I think
we're 35. Yeah, £31,428.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, those guys had a good day's fishing.
Damn. I mean, we should say, because there are people that are a bit more casual. Like my mate listens to this, and he, as much as he really enjoys fragrances and kind of smelling good, he's kind of not into all the, you know, the finer details. So some people might not know what ambergris is. So it's probably worth kind of saying, really. Do you want to kind of elaborate?
Yeah.
On that?
So it's essentially, you'd best describe it as whale vomit. I think it's something that that sort of like a waste product that is generated within the whale. And there's various different reasons why it might happen. I think it's, some people say that it's for protection purposes. It like hardens in the whale's belly and it can protect the whale. I think it actually says that in this article, actually. What happens is that often the whale will excrete this ambergris, this white stuff, and over a long period of time, it absorbs the sunlight and the minerals from the ocean, and it just becomes this hard white substance that often washes up on beaches. So that's the common story. You will hear such and such was walking along a beach in Ireland and, you know, found this 10 kilogram lump of white stuff, got it home and realized that she'd stumbled upon this jackpot because it was this very expensive ambergris which sells for a lot of money. And then just reading little bits out of this article. So they saw this whale, and then this guy, one of the fishermen, said that as they got closer, they noticed a strong smell. And because of that, they had the feeling that there might be something precious in the whale. So ambergris gives off a certain sort of fishy, marine-y smell. So they smelt this and they thought, we might be onto something here, lads. And then, they found all this stuff in its belly. And
so they knew, because I've not actually fully read the article, so they knew what ambergris was,
yeah,
and how it came about. So they were sort of, as soon as they saw this whale, they're like, hold on, perhaps we should check, sort of thing. They didn't just to go, oh, what's that? So they knew what they were, and okay, fair play.
Yeah, so it sells for around 35 grand per kilogram.
Wow.
Sperm whales eat large quantities of cephalopods, such as squid, cuttlefish, and they have parts that are difficult for them to digest, and most of the time they're vomited out, but sometimes they move into the whale's intestines, bind together and form this solid mass of ambergris, which is what they found. And it was really nice, actually, because imagine literally going out earning pennies each day, and suddenly as a poor fisherman you have 30 grand. That's going to change your life, isn't it? That's pretty massive for those guys.
Work, I guess. Well, probably quite a bit of work moving a fucking sperm whale around, but
yeah,
fair play. Yeah, so it's a great story.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure most people are going to be knowledgeable enough in the world of perfumery to know, but there are like synthetic alternatives to ambergris now. So ambroxan is what most people know it as. That's actually a trade name. I think it's actually ambroxide is the sort of formulaic name, or the sort of the scientific name, and then ambroxan is actually a trade name. But so most people, I think, have heard of or know of ambroxan. So it's that kind of. Well, I guess ambergris and ambroxan do smell slightly different, don't they? I think.
Yeah, but I think there's a different thing. So ambroxan, I always feel like, is used to create a mass appealing aura to a scent, and
it's kind
helps
of like
project and
soft sweet. I don't want to say powderiness, because they're not powdery. It's kind of like a softness, isn't it? Like a smooth, like say, appealing kind of nature to it, isn't it? So it's very much in synthetic, in sort of designery ones that are very mass appealing.
But sometimes ambroxan is referred to as being very synthetic and screechy, you know, like when you refer to it in, you know, they say Sauvage is loaded with ambroxan, and it's this very mass appealing designery screechy type of smell. Now, whether that is ambroxan, or whether, you know, ambroxide is like that, or whether it's just this or, you know, ambroxan sort of trademarked name, but I think in niche perfumery, ambergris seems to be used to add, rather than adding this sort of mass appealing quality to the fragrance, it seems to just add this, or almost, it's difficult to describe really, because sometimes it does have a fishy, marine-y type smell, but most of the time it seems to just add this incredible depth and smoothness, this sort of elegant, ethereal smoothness to the fragrance overall, really. And I think it sometimes oud can be used to just help bring out the best in other materials rather than you smelling the oud itself. And I think ambergris can be used to really tease out the best of all the other ingredients used in a fragrance. So I think that's how I understand it, is how it's often used in niche perfumery as opposed to how ambroxan is used in designer perfumery.
Because, I mean, you've sort of discussed before, and I think we've discussed, I know you've done a YouTube video on it and we've discussed it on the podcast, but you're quite a big fan of ambroxan, and you actually got Eccentric Molecules, is it O2?
Yeah.
Or
was
it O2, isn't it?
Is the ambroxan,
the ambroxan one, which I've not actually smelled, but yeah, I remember you purposely wanted to get that because you're sort of, you enjoy it. I've not actually smelled O2, so I should probably give it a go, but...
Yeah. It's not a strong smell. But it's sort of a pleasant smell, if you know what I mean. But yeah, ambroxan, I think, does help other notes maybe project and last in a lot of particularly, you know, well, all fragrances, I guess, really.
It's a fixative. Exciting times. Something that I wanted to... Sorry, I'm just looking at my notes now. I wanted to mention... We spoke a couple of weeks ago. I guess there's a link there, a segue with regards to ambergris. But we spoke about Aventus being the king, didn't we? Somebody asked a question: what would replace Aventus as the king?
Which of course contains ambergris, famously.
Exactly. So that's my little link there.
Well done.
Yes. All planned, obviously, all planned. but we did, I sort of posted in our little Scent Geeks podcast Facebook group, like, what people recommend. So, you know, give me your suggestions for what you think should, if you were on some sort of panel of judges, that you would nominate as a replacement to Aventus as the king. Now, depending on what you define as the king, I think Aventus gets called the king just because it's super likable, super versatile, one fragrance does everything type situation. So I think that's really where the king sort of label gets applied. So I posted in the group, and we've had loads of suggestions, and I've whittled them down. I basically, all of the comments, I then asked people to like the ones that they agreed with, and the ones with the most likes, I've then started a poll. So there's a poll currently running in our group, so you can go in there and vote for the fragrance that you think, if there was this panel of judges where you had to sit down and decide what could replace Venice as the king, what would it be? And we've whittled it down based on the comments and the number of likes that those comments got. So here are your current options. So go into the Facebook group and vote. Your options are Bleu de Chanel EDP. So a few people said Bleu de Chanel and a couple of people said EDP. So I've just gone for the EDP because I think that's probably the most versatile kind of fragrance, so it's probably slightly influenced by my opinion in that one. But yeah, Bleu de Chanel was mentioned by quite a lot and got loads of likes. One of my obviously all-time faves, PDM Leighton. So Parfum de Marly's Leighton got quite a lot of mentions there. A lot of people really digging Leighton. Another one that was very popular is Terre d'Hermes. Again, obviously super clean, super versatile fragrance. Yep. I think you mentioned this one as a suggestion, as Dior Homme Parfum. I think you mentioned that on the podcast, didn't you, as a suggestion? Or we
discussed
it?
Can't remember. Was it Parfum or Intense?
I can't remember.
Or maybe Dior Homme. I don't know.
That's certainly, somebody commented on that, and that got quite a few likes. Mm-hmm. And then the final one, so we've got five options, was one that I mentioned on the podcast, was Bulgari Legem Tiger. So it's this, again, ambroxan grapefruit type thing. So super fresh, super versatile. So they're all very safe fragrances, yeah. I would say, very likable, very versatile, which I think they need to be, all of those things, to replace Aventus as the king. So go in. I won't say what's leading the votes at the minute. There's one leading, and there's a couple that are sort of quite close behind, so it could be influenced. So we'll give it another week, and just, this is all obviously for fun, and then we'll come back next week and decide announce what the listeners of the podcast think should replace Aventus as the king.
Well, yeah, exciting. Good. Please stop by the Facebook group and let us know what you think, and if indeed there can be anything that can replace it. Can anything be as popular as the mighty Aventus? Let us know if you think that's the case. Well, I think we've got a couple of happy endings, haven't we, Steve? I've got a quick one, and then you've got your usual happy end. Well, it's not your usual happy ending, actually.
No,
it's an even happier happy ending.
Even happier. Did you want to mention a YouTuber coming back? Is that
one of yours? Yeah, that's sort of my little happy ending. My mate George, the Fragrance Apprentice, has come back. He's dropped a beautiful video that he was missing the Fragrance Apprentice. He had some health issues, and he was focusing on some film projects, and he just felt the time was right to come back with a phrase. He only told me, he's been planning this for a little while, but he only told me a few days ago, and then he dropped the video. So it was lovely to see George back on screen, and it was probably one of the most The Fragrance Apprentice videos that I think I've ever seen. It was beautifully done. So check that one out if you haven't already. Steve, what is your happier than happy endings?
And also, are you going to announce the winners of the Kajal thing after this, right at the end? Or do you
yes,
want to do that
I'll do that. Okay, yeah, cool. Do that at the end.
Yeah, so my little happy ending is it's a lovely little thing. So as most people know, we sometimes do like fragrance fails or lovely little scent moments. And sometimes there's normally a story and a situation attached to it. But we've not actually had any submissions, but somebody did leave a post in the Facebook group that I wanted to share because it kind of was just lovely to kind of see. So quite a long time ago, God knows when was it now, it was months and months ago, somebody posted, they sent me a scenario that we spoke about, and they said, can you recommend some fragrances for me and my wife to wear on our wedding day? And we sort of, normally we dick around with those things and suggest whatever comes off the sort of our head, but I actually put a little bit of thought in that one, and I sort of planned some answers, and you sort of come up with some good ones, and then we put it out to the Facebook group, didn't we, and all of our listeners got involved, and there was loads of suggestions, and they were like really appreciative, and they said, oh, we're going to try as many of these as we can. Well, really excitingly, they've got married, and they posted in the group, and they told us, they've kind of announced what they did. So I want to shout out massive congratulations to Tobias and his gorgeous wife Ellen. They got married, so this is like our first podcast wedding. It's, I feel like Cilla Black. It's like the first wedding. Like, yeah, we didn't get an invite, we didn't get to wear any sort of hats. So they posted in there, and they've told us. So Tobias posted a little greeting from the new bride and groom. We were in an earlier episode about our wedding scent choices, so finally, here's what he went for. Finally, I went for Amouage Reflection Man.
Yes.
And Ellen went for, she used A Blooming Bouquet by Dior, which I've not smelt, as their wedding scents. We are now happily married, and they shared a lovely sort of typical kind of wedding photo of them like looking, staring beautifully into each other's eyes across a lake, and they're framed by a lovely tree, and that is just kind of proper lovely wedding photo, and it just looks amazing. I'm so happy. It was just so, and I'm, thank you guys for kind of coming back and reporting and sort of closing the circle on that one, so we can go full circle and come around to find out what you wore, because that is just, it's just lovely. It warmed my little heart. I just actually love that
too,
so thank you.
Yeah, and Tobias, well, guys, congratulations. Tobias, you were smelling absolutely awesome. As Steve said, I'm not familiar with the one that your wife wore. I'm sure she was smelling absolutely amazing. But Reflection Man, what a choice. Oh, yes. And now, forever, for as long as you live, that beautiful fragrance will always remind you of that special day. So I think, yes, stellar choice. Well done. Brilliant. And
we had a little input into it, which is, I'm just so chuffed about that.
I know, it's like, get warm and tinglies.
Yeah, I mean, what we need, the next thing is when they, or if they decide to maybe start a family, we'll find out what Tobias wears on the day his child's born. That's like, we'll find out, that's the next episode. But no pressure. We might be running this podcast for a few years, so don't worry, we're not kind of pressuring you there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, brilliant. Thanks for that, guys.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, what a lovely, lovely happy ending. And we're going to continue the happy vibes, because I'd like to let you know who the winners of our Kajal giveaway are. I have them right here. So there are two winners. The winner of the 100ml bottle of Fida Eau de Parfum is Gabriel Garcia. That's GABBRIEL.GARCIA, Garcia. And the Discovery Kit winner is Memo_Meshemist90. So, guys, girls, whoever you are, well done. You need to I believe Kajal will be contacting you, so hopefully you've heard that you're the winner, and if you have, then feel free to DM Kajal and let them know that you heard on the podcast that you are the winners. But I think if they haven't already let you know, they will be letting you know, and they'll be contacting you to get shipping details and all that good stuff. So well done. And if you like the sound of winning free fragrance, then you know all you need to do, guys, for this month's giveaway, which will be for a bottle of Dahab, which is the passion fruit one from Kajal, which I own and I love. It's beautiful. You just need to go to Kajal's Instagram page, find the post that has the bottle of Dahab on it. It will say The Scent Geeks written on the actual photo itself. All you need to do is share that on your socials, tag in Kajal so that they know you've shared it, and then at the end of the month they will just compile all the people who've shared and tag them in the photo, and you could be a winner. So that's all you need to go and do. It's as simple as that. So that's it for us this week. I think we've had a good chat. We've had a good catch up, Steve. I'll let you say your final goodbyes.
Yeah, no, brilliant. Thanks, Chris. It's been good to catch up. I'm really looking forward to it because, as much as it's nice to have a break, I'm really looking forward to having a catch up. So thank you. Thank you, everybody, as always, for supporting the podcast. Do keep sending in those scent memories / happy endings / fragrance fails. We love those. They make us smile. And yeah, however heartwarming or kind of disturbing they are, we want to hear about them. So do keep sending those in. Other than that, thanks again for listening. And I look forward to coming into your ears next week.
Yes, you do it so well, Steve. Yes, you're always on target. And I just realised that when I said to you, you can say your final goodbyes, it sounded like maybe that was the end and you weren't coming back. So, yes, that perhaps shouldn't say final goodbyes. I think just a simple goodbye is enough.
It's just enough. I mean, I don't know if we want to tease this. We're not 100% confirmed, but we might have a little guest next week. So it's worth tuning in for that as well. So do come back next week.
Yeah.
We may have a little guest for you. So yeah.
A good guest. Someone that it would not be someone who you would think. But I think everyone will. I think it could lead to a really good episode. So yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. So cool. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Listen, thanks for sending in all your podmin and kofis and all that. It's brilliant. Thanks for all your engagement. We love it. It's been great to chat to you again, Steve. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be here for you next week. Have a week, geeks.
Bye.